So we're actually still looking at the Holy Spirit this morning. We're actually looking at the phrase that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And our scripture readings this morning show us that the Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son. In our Old Testament reading, Yahweh is speaking in the book of Joel, and we have repeatedly seen that Yahweh, the divine name of God, is used of both the Father and the Son. Yahweh is speaking about the coming day of Yahweh, the great day of judgment, which we heard about a couple of weeks ago. And you might have recalled as you heard those words that you have heard them many times because Peter quotes part of that scripture in his Pentecost sermon on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out in fullness upon the apostles. And God is letting people know that the signs that were to happen before the coming of Yahweh have already started, and Peter in his sermon was saying, look, this is happening now. This coming of the Lord is started. That it started with the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh. In our New Testament readings from Jesus' last long talk with his disciples before he was betrayed, he says that he would send the Spirit through asking the Father to send the Spirit. And he uses that word we talked about last week, the paraclete, the comforter, the counselor, that the Father will send the Spirit in Jesus' name at Jesus' request. The Father sends the Spirit, the Son sends the Spirit, but they do not do so apart from one another. They do it together. But does this mean that the Spirit then is subordinate to the Father and the Son? Not at all. Epiphanius puts it this way: there's no suggestion of any subordinationism in God, for whatever the Father is, this the Son, and this the Spirit, as in the Godhead. Their being of the Father and with the Father is beyond beginning and beyond time. There's no before or after in God. There never was a time when the Spirit was not. Thomas Torrance summarizes Epiphanius further when he writes, "The Holy Spirit dwells in and flows from the inner being and life and light of the Holy Trinity, where the Spirit shares fully in the reciprocal knowing and communing of the Father and the Son. It is as such that he comes into the midst of us, proceeding from the Father, receiving from the Son, revealing God to us, and making us partake in the Spirit of God's knowing of himself." St. Cyril of Jerusalem taught the Holy Spirit is ever one and the same, living and personally subsisting or always present together with the Father and the Son, not as if uttered like breath from the mouth and lips of the Father, and then only to be dispersed into the air, but as an inhypostatic being. That big word means being united together, speaking and operating, dispensing and fulfilling the salvation which comes to us from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That salvation is indivisible, harmonious, and one. Also in Scripture, not just these early church fathers and latter church fathers and scholars, but in Scripture itself, we can see the full divinity of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, Jesus compared the Holy Spirit to wind. Remember, we saw last week that word for Holy Spirit is wind, breath, and spirit. It's all the same word. And Jesus compares the Holy Spirit to the wind. He says that the wind blows wherever it wants to. And that he goes on to say that when people are born again, because you remember Nicodemus asked, well, how can I be born again? Do I have to go into my mother's womb? What are you talking about? Jesus says that this is a mysterious work of the Holy Spirit, and people are born again by the will of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit has a will when it comes to the salvation of souls. The book of Acts also speaks of the will of the Spirit and providing direction and activity for leadership and for mission. You might recall the story in Acts where Paul wanted to go to Asia, but it says that he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit, and instead he had this vision of the man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us, and so that's the direction he went. Also in Acts 15, when the Jerusalem Council met, they were discussing what should be required of all these new Gentile believers that were coming to know Jesus. Do they have to become Jews first in order to become Christians? And then they decided on three things. They said, you have to stay away from things sacrificed to idols, don't eat blood or strangled animals, and stay away from all forms of sexual immorality. And as they wrote this letter to the Gentile churches, they said, they wrote in their letter that was going to go out, that they said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So the Holy Spirit has a will. But the Spirit doesn't have a will apart from the will of the Father and the Son. Remember that we don't have three wills. There's one God, one will. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit don't have to get together as the Godhead and talk about, hey, what are we going to do this week? You know, how are we going to work things out? And then come to a conclusion that they all agree on that. Yep, this is what we're going to do. No, there's one will. It's one will. They all have the same will. There's no question as to what they're about, what they're going to do, because there's only one God. It always has been, it always will be. Jesus did have a human will in addition to his divine will, but his human will was subordinate to the will of the Father and the Spirit. Jesus himself said, I didn't come to do my own will, but only the will of my Father in heaven. So the Spirit doesn't act apart from the Father and the Son. The Father doesn't act independently of the Son and the Spirit. And the Spirit's job, as we saw last week, is to make Christ known and to bring glory to Jesus. We also see the full divinity of the Holy Spirit in what Jesus tells us is the unforgivable sin. Jesus said that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the most serious of all sins. In Mark chapter 3, verses 28 and 29, Jesus tells us that all sins can be forgiven, even blasphemy, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So what happened in that context was the scribes from Jerusalem came down to Capernaum and apparently were very close to committing that sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit if they weren't actually doing it. It seems like they were. And what is it that they were doing when Jesus confronts them about it? They were saying that Jesus was performing exorcisms because he was possessed by the devil. That's what they said. The reason you can perform these exorcisms is because you're possessed by Beelzebub. So here we see Jesus is crediting his power to perform exorcisms to the Holy Spirit, not to his own power, but to the Holy Spirit, that this is the power of the Holy Spirit acting in him and upon him and through him as he is carrying out the will of the Father. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all together, tied very closely. Well, what does this mean for us? The implications of this doctrine are to give thanks, first of all, that the Holy Spirit has been sent. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh, and that's you and me. As we said last week, the Holy Spirit is God gifting us with God's self. Let's return to our Old Testament reading from Joel. We know that the Father and the Son sent the Spirit on all flesh at Pentecost. So that means that you and I can operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus did. And let's see what the Spirit does. In Joel, we hear that your sons and daughters will prophesy. That's generations down the line from when that prophecy was spoken through Joel by God. Even generations beyond Pentecost, when Peter preached it again and said, hey, this is what's happening. This prophecy in Joel is coming to pass. Because when the Holy Spirit came down, the Holy Spirit came down to stay. So you and I are those sons and daughters who can prophesy. We have been given the Spirit of truth that Jesus promised, the Spirit that brings life that we saw last week and we see in our gospel readings today. And because we have been given that Spirit, we can speak truth. We can prophesy. When we testify to the truth of God, that's what prophesying is. Now, some people have a special gift of the Holy Spirit where they can see and speak truths that sometimes are hidden from other people. But be aware of any prophecy that contradicts what God has already revealed in Scripture. The Spirit never contradicts the word that has already been revealed because, again, as we heard last week, the Spirit had a hand in the word being written. Our Joel passage goes on to say, your old men will dream dreams. That's good news for this congregation. It tells us that God is not finished with us, that God is not finished with you. Some of you are dreamers. You might receive a word from God that God wants you to share. It might be a dream that can encourage or inspire others. It might be a dream of warning like Joseph received from the angels that he had to obey to prevent evil from happening. It might be a dream of a mission to undertake either for yourself or to share so that others can see what God is calling them to do. So listen for what the Spirit is saying. And we can give thanks because the Spirit of God is not limited to just men. The Spirit of God is not limited to people of high status. Yahweh says, even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. The Spirit can speak and act through anyone. In our New Testament reading, those two short verses from John chapter 15, Jesus tells the disciples that they are going to bear witness of Jesus. So we are called to bear witness to Christ because we've been given the Holy Spirit. God doesn't withhold the Spirit. We give glory to Jesus Christ through the Spirit when we live by the Spirit. And again, we're reminded that it is the Holy Spirit who draws people to salvation, the greatest gift of all. We are given that promise straight from God that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And as we saw a couple of weeks ago, nobody can escape that coming judgment, but God saves all who call on the name of the Lord. We have, because of the Spirit, the promise of inheriting the kingdom of God if we believe. We've been given all the power, all the graces we need to follow Jesus, to have eternal life, to have salvation. Jesus died for us. He took away our sins. The Father loves us that he sent Jesus, and the Spirit is working now to bring us to Jesus. If we have placed our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is active. The Holy Spirit is not done with us until our breath returns to God. As we heard last week, that breath that is our breath. So listen for the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying to you? What does the Spirit want you to share? How does the Spirit want you to act? Live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Great God, Holy Trinity, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been poured out on all flesh. That's a big concept. But what it means is that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on me. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on every person. Lord, help us to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, to listen to the voice of the Spirit, for the Spirit is still speaking and acting in our world. Help us to pay attention to our dreams, to those promptings, to the commands. And help us to act in power, power that is not our own, but power that comes from God, so that we can do your kingdom work in the world, so that others can hear and receive the good news of salvation that is offered to all through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is 324, Open My Eyes That I May See.